if we can start recording, we'll get this stuff started.
The recorder is on, sir.
Okay, welcome to the Franklin Township Board of Trustees special meeting. It's October 26, 2020. Time is 1:04 p.m. We'll start with the roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Excuse Ralph Horn from the meeting, please.
Yes, we'll excuse Ralph. Hopefully he'll be able to join us a little bit later.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, I'll make a motion to suspend the Pledge of Allegiance in any past minute. John, would you mind seconding?
I will second that.
Great. And I'll call for a roll call, please.
Ari?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
And Ralph's excused. Thank you.
All right, so this meeting was called for by our fiscal officer, so I'm going to hand it over to Fiscal Officer Reinhardt to give us a rundown, and then we have Linda Falls there to talk, and then Brian Lenzo, but I'll have Mary give us a quick update about the purpose of the meeting and what we're expecting to hear from. So I'll hand it over to you, Mary.
Yes, well, we're looking at the renewal for all of our employer-sponsored employee benefits for insurance, including health, life, accident, and so forth, dental, vision. And this is over $1 million contract, so I felt it warranted some review. At this point, it's too late in the year to go out for new bids. I just discovered it a few weeks ago and brought it up, and we just now today are being able to get together to talk about it. So I've asked each of the current representative and the individual I'd like for us to consider some preferred benefit services, Brian Lenzo. Linda Falk is the current representative, and she can have the floor to talk about what she would suggest for her renewal.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
You sure can.
Okay, great. First of all, I want to give a shout out to the special news report hopefully everyone heard this morning for the Columbus police to really do a crackdown on the trafficking, the human trafficking that's been going on in our area. So I just want to do a shout out because it's extremely important, and I think that they've done a wonderful job. There was a lot, from what I understand, a lot of effective, and people were apprehended, and so hopefully we're cleaning up our streets. The second thing that I would like to bring to everyone's attention on board, that I was notified of this meeting just this past Friday afternoon at 4:24. So just to give you a little behind the scenes of how I am being notified here in the last 6 months of how internally I'm being notified. Just given about not even a one-day full business notification of this meeting. This is not a surprise to me that this is happening because as I have in exhibit number one, on April the 13th of 2020 at 10:52 a.m., I did receive an email asking if the individual and group health insurance agency had any signed contract in force with Franklin Township. So a little over 6 months ago, I did have a red flag that something was going on. Okay, so if everyone could just listen to the words that I have to say, and we can go from there. First of all, I want to say that I'm on this call because I want to work with Franklin Township. In January, it will be going on 3 years. I have built a working relationship with many of the employees. It is a great compliment to me and my agency when I walk in and I'm told that I am the best agent that Franklin Township has ever had. It is a great compliment to me when an employee leaves their employment at Franklin and then recommends me and my agency to their new employer. Because of COVID, I did not meet the new fiscal officer, Mary Reinhart, until around April or May of this year. So let's just say 6 months. Since that time, I feel I have been rejected. Mary has been very unresponsive, and I have not been treated fairly. Mary refuses to work with me. She has prohibited internal staff employees to contact me, and she has verbally advised them not to call me. And for this behavior, I have no idea what I have done. Mary has been communicating with another agency, my competitor, for nearly 2 months. However, she will not return my phone calls or reply to my emails. I am being treated like I am already gone and have been replaced, like my competitor has already been locked in. To my knowledge, it is not Mary's job to do this. Why one fiscal officer is not being able to run and make decisions for Franklin Township. Mary is spreading rumors that I am not in compliance should I be asked to go through an internal audit through the state of Ohio. Why does Mary think it is okay for her to make these accusations? She has verbally stated that she refuses to work with Linda Falk, and for that, she is making accusations and assumptions that are completely false. She does not have any idea what documentation I have in my office. I promise you, speaking today, I am completely 100% audit ready. She has verbally stated to the staff that she refuses, quote unquote, to work with Linda Falk. We had an incident for about a 3 or 4 hour period when she refused to reimburse an HRA invoice. I invoiced on June the 25th. I did not receive HRA reimbursement until July the 30th. Coverage was not impacted, nothing was canceled, but again, because she was being difficult, unprofessional, unwilling, and refusing to work with anything that comes from me, she was creating a turmoil out of her way of dominance. Trustee Fleshman, you are one of the trustees that are on the health insurance plan. Can you share with me any complaints that you have?
Can you hear me okay?
I can.
I'm just kind of shocked. I thought we were here to hear different...
Can you just answer the question, please? Do you have any complaints with
Let me just intervene here. Like, I think it's very important. Like, my understanding is that this is not a time for accusations or anything else. A lot of the stuff I'm first time hearing, I think calling... demanding answers from a fellow trustee here is a little out of line.
I'm asking that I be listened to today.
Okay, but I want to note, like, my understanding is that we are just hearing about proposals for the ongoing brokerage and no insurance changes. I have to admit, I'm fairly confused about what any issues that maybe arise or what we are ultimately needing to decide here. So I think it would be helpful if Mary kind of walked us through that first, and then we just stuck to the facts. I don't want to make sure that this isn't becoming a he said, she said argument, and I don't want, like, a bunch of accusations that folks have to defend or call out. I think it is very important that if we need to adopt something to continue the health benefits for our employees, that is the priority that we talk about. and that
decision does not have to be made today. That decision does not have to be made today, and I'm asking that that be done in a different discussion. I was not given proper notice of this meeting, and it is my understanding that my competitor is present at Franklin Township. I was notified that this was a virtual meeting.
Linda?
I am asking a question to Trustee Hutchman.
John, you have the floor.
Okay. Linda, John Fleshman here.
Yes. Could you answer my question for me?
Well, just a second. The gentleman, I forget his first name, is not here present.
He's out in his car now.
Okay, but I mean, he's not here.
He was told that he could.
Also, Linda.
We need to have an even playing field here, John.
Linda, we're just here.
Your employees do not want me to go. Linda,
I want to make sure that this does not become a back and forth here. Like, Trustee Fleshman has the floor at the moment.
I think we have to maintain
some civility here. If there will not be, I will adjourn this meeting.
Alex, this is Ralph Horn here too. I had a little trouble getting online, and frankly, I have really, other than just hearing a couple of rumors, I have no knowledge until very recently that there were some questions regarding employee insurance. I mean, very limited what I've heard, and you know, I in no way have enough advice or enough knowledge to make any suggestions until I find out. I guess what it is. My understanding, the way it is right now, that it's a competitive bid. Now, that's my understanding. And if it's other than a competitive bid, I haven't seen any bids from you or from any other person that would indicate, I think maybe I did see something from, maybe the other company, but what I know relative to our situation right now is basically nothing in order to make any type of decision or anything. I didn't mean to really break up, the conversation here, but I have no knowledge of exactly where we're going to go or what we're trying to achieve here. So with that, Chairman Alex, maybe that'll help kind of clarify this thing. I really don't want to debate with anyone, and I agree with Chairman Alex that I just don't think we have sufficient. I know that I don't have sufficient information to really even discuss this intelligently, to be honest with you.
I agree. I have not had the opportunity to present my strategies and my numbers with the trustees. I have not been given that opportunity. Phone calls are not being returned to me, emails are not being returned, and that's why I'm trying to voice my opinion and what my experiences has been. And I'm asking that I am able to provide you my strategy and my recommendation for year 2021.
Mr. Chairman,
that to me would be a fair assessment.
And
I don't think we need to, my opinion is, I just don't think we need to do a lot of, really interaction or disagreement or anything. It's basically, I think, if it's going to be a bid situation or something like that, let's get our information together. Chairman Alex, he said, I guess he has heard a little bit the feedback. Is that correct, Mr. Alex?
I haven't heard much here from anyone, but I know John's been also trying to get a comment in here, so I just want to hand it over to John real quick.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to interject that and make sure that we know. I just personally don't feel like we have enough information to even be talking about this at the moment, honestly.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, to take some of the heat out of what is becoming a topic, as this being a fact finder, I would suggest that we make no movement on anything today so that we have time to look at everything, and let this be a presentation of what is best for the employees and associates with the township.
I agree with that. I think if we can hear the two proposals, then we can discuss and debate which on the merits of the facts there. I think that would be great. I completely agree with you there, Vice Chair Fletchman. So, Linda, if you could just walk us through what you are proposing for the
I'll go ahead and let Preferred Benefits speak first on that. Thank you.
Preferred Benefits isn't here.
They're in their car. They were there.
Are they on this call?
They were on site.
I am on the call if you can hear me.
Yeah, could you just say your name and title for the record here?
Sure. My name is Brian Lenzo. I'm a senior benefits consultant with Preferred Benefits.
All right. So go ahead. If you want to, well, let me just ask a question to our administrator, Mark Potts. Mark, if we're getting into a situation where we are reviewing different options here, is that not something that would normally happen through executive session because it is considered negotiations? Or what would normally be the process here? Do you know?
Yeah, I do know that based on a quick conversation I had with our legal counsel that this is not open, there's not a competitive bidding section in the code for brokerage of insurance. But I have not experienced that in my 15, 16 months here on a contract such as this. So, honestly, I'm unsure, Mr. Chairman.
So what I don't want us to do is just hear competing proposals on here and then things are changing there. I think it would be much better for our two vendors to submit those in writing so that the board can review those. And then we can bring in individuals independently to ask questions there. I think that will give us time to review those. I think folks can give an initial kind of overview of those services, but I don't want to get into a bidding war or, you know, undercutting one another on a virtual meeting like this, because I don't think that that's beneficial or professional in any way. So I want to just note that as folks begin to talk about what are some of the services that they offer.
Chairman Alex, this is Mary.
Go ahead, Mary.
This was really just to talk about general features that are services that each offers, and the reason that I sought another representative was because of audit issues with the current provider, and which were brought up immediately by
Mary. I have not been audited, and you don't.
Linda, let me be very clear here, and this will be the final warning. If one of our elected officials has the floor, they have the floor,
okay.
And this goes to anyone else. Like there will be some respect here, and we will follow some procedures. There will be no interruptions going further. And if there are
this is an
unorderly meeting, I will adjourn this. At this time, Mary Reinhardt, our fiscal officer, has the floor.
So anyway, we had some concerns, which we've worked on trying to correct. And in the meantime, what I have discovered is that there are other options that could be included and free would be free to us as far as services. And that's why I looked at preferred benefits. And all I wanted to do today was just talk about what we can, what each can provide in services. We're not doing any competitive bids or quotes, because the intention, because it's so late, is that we're really most likely just renew what we have. So the issue is just what each can offer our employees in benefits and services.
Okay, so hearing that, we will follow the agenda. Linda, you are first on the agenda. You can go over the services and that you would like to provide and offer, that you currently offer or are looking to offer in the future. Then we will move on to the next individual to offer that. Then if the board has discussion, questions, or comments, we can engage on that. And we will try to limit the back and forth here if possible. So Linda, I will hand it over to you.
I'll go ahead and let preferred benefits go first.
So Linda, we're following the agenda that was set forth by, that was already adopted here.
I'm just asking, since I'm the current broker and there's been no communication with me, I just feel like it's more fair, with all due respect, that my competitor go first, because the current fiscal officer has not, she probably has expressed service issues with Brian, she has not done that with me. So therefore, because of lack of communication, I feel that my competitor needs to go first.
Does the Board of Trustees, would anyone on the Board of Trustees like to make a motion to amend the agenda to allow the other individual to go next?
Mr. Chairman, I think that we should just follow the agenda. I didn't realize that there was a reason why the agenda was set up the way it was set up. But
I didn't understand that.
If we just follow the agenda and that's what was posted,
I was notified Friday at
4:24. Linda, this is your final warning. John Flesman is talking. We will he has expressed his interest to follow the agenda. It's posted on the agenda. I'm inclined to follow the agenda as written, too. If you would like an opportunity now to speak, this will happen. You have that opportunity now. Otherwise, we will move to the next individual for their feedback and comments.
Yes, let's hear from them.
Lisa, you are forfeiting your time to talk on the agenda.
No, I'm not forfeiting my time. I have talked. I'm not forfeiting at all.
Okay, then we will move on to the next part of the presentation, and we will invite Brian Lenzo from Preferred Benefits to give his presentation. Brian?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you all for your time. So once again, my name is Brian Lenzo with Preferred Benefits. Let me back up in time just a little bit to get some context to kind of where we are today. Part of my job as a sales representative is to reach out to local business leaders and fiscal folks, introduce myself and my firm, and Mary and Mary allowed me some time to introduce myself and our firm. In the course of those conversations, we were able to identify some things that I think that we felt as though could be improved upon: systems, capabilities, platforms, not only improved on for the township, but for the employees as well. I have kind of a new client checklist that we go over that identifies any gaps that need to be filled or that might need to be filled. A lot of those are on the compliance side of things. And so just in the normal course of the conversations with Mary, I think we did identify a few things. And I could just take a real quick minute and talk about a few of those, if that's okay.
Go ahead. You have the floor.
Okay. So first and foremost, right now, you all have a medical plan through Medical Mutual of Ohio, and your current broker, Ms. Falk, handles the HRA administration. So And it is a kind of a paper process where the employees have to fill out a claim form, and Ms. Falk collects those and handwrites checks. delivers them back to the employee. So the first thing that we really talked about was a streamlined process using a third-party vendor, most likely by the name of Ameriflex. And what happens is the employees get a debit card. So the township would load funds into the account, just like they do today, to fund those HRA dollars. But instead of using claim forms and paper checks, the employees would, in essence, be able to swipe that debit card at the time of service or once they receive their bill, and that's the end of the process. So the employees have a streamlined process using a debit card, and then Mary and the township have access to all the reporting that shows on a weekly basis how much money has come out of the account, to whom it was paid, and for how much. So that was one of the first things that we talked about, was just really streamlining that process, make it a little bit easier for the employees on that HRA administrative side. Some other things that we identified on the compliance end of things, we talked about, I asked Mary if the township has a what's called an ERISA WRAP document, W-R-A-P. We don't think it's a sign that the township has a WRAP document. We talked about IRS 6056 reporting, which is the reporting that organizations need to do with the passage of the Affordable Care Act. We talked about a Section 125 POP document, which stands for Premium Only Plan, Medicare Part D notices, and we do think that certainly based on the conversations that we've had that Preferred Benefits can help go through this compliance checklist and check off these items one at a time in the event that the township has ever audited on the benefits side. Basically, the township would be able to present a flash drive with all of the required documents that the Department of Labor, ERISA, HHS, et cetera, have put forth on organizations across the country. A third topic was employee communication with regards to the benefits plans. You know, obviously, it's been several years, I think, since you all have shopped the market with regards to your health insurance and employee benefits. I believe that Mary had mentioned it's too late to make a change this year with your January 1st renewal date, but certainly moving forward, we do put in strategic plans and goals with our clients to make sure that we identify what needs to be done and when it needs to be done. And certainly my recommendation is, being as it's been a while since you shopped the market, is the first opportunity you get to do that, it should be done. And we're talking basically in fourth quarter of 2021. But there is a system called FormFire that allows the employees to answer health insurance questions online. And so you don't have to, you know, employees don't have six or seven forms that they have to fill out. They do it online. Preferred Benefits takes that information. We pre-populate all of the carrier apps, and then we send out those applications to shop the market and hopefully get some competitive proposals back. And so basically there are quite a few broker services that we provide that you guys are not getting today, your employees are not getting today. There are quite a few services that we provide with regards to notices that need to be given to employees and certain documents that should be had on file, whether they're given to the employees or not. And, so we just identified quite a few things that as we get into 2021, if we're fortunate enough to earn the business, we would go through and kind of check off these items one at a time.
Okay. I appreciate that. I'll open it up to the board to see if there are questions at this time.
I just have one question, if I may, Mr. Chairman. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. One of the, I guess it's more of a statement. As one of the older serving trustees and went through the different process of changing insurance and et cetera, one of the things, issues that we have seen in the past in transition is not very smooth transition. We've had issues with other agencies that we are still probably going to end up owing on. We had a problem getting cards to all of our members and et cetera. So if we was to shop the market later and look, and if we did go with another service, how quickly and seamlessly would it be for our members that may have a doctor's appointment on the 3rd and we set up on the 1st?
Sure. And that's a great question. So the process for form fire is that groups have 120 days prior to their renewal date to begin that form fire process. And what that means is that the carriers only accept forms that are dated less than 120 days out. So the process would be in a normal situation. It's September 1st. You turn on form fire. You give employees a week and a half or 2 weeks to go in there and fill out the applications and e-sign the documents. As soon as all the employees have done that, then the insurance broker is going to go out to bid and shop the market. That process is typically between 7 and 14 days to get all the proposals back. So at that point in time, you're looking at the end of September of having all the competitive data. The last piece that you're going to look for is actually your current renewal. That's the last piece that comes in. And so from a time frame standpoint, you're looking at probably making your decisions the first half of November. You turn on open enrollment, and as long as all of the documents are into the new carrier, now this is assuming that you change vendors, and but if you change from Medical Mutual of Ohio, let's say to United Healthcare, Anthem, or Aetna, as long as you have all of the plan elections and sole case paperwork in by the first few days of December, you will not have any issues getting ID cards in employee hands by January 1st.
So the current vendor that we currently have as far as MetaMutual, I know I'm speaking of my own self as a person that uses it. I currently like it, have no problem. My doctors are set up with it, et cetera. So hypothetically, let's say that we were to stay with them, whichever way that we went, any changes that we made, say for instance on the back end, like you're talking about with the credit card, of course, Linda may be able to offer the same thing. I'm not asking these questions
for
one person, so I would ask each person the same question. So if something like that was to set up and we changed some of the back end, some of the stuff, our medical cards would not change, our doctors would not change, the process in which when we go to the doctor and they have our information on file would not change. Is that correct?
That is correct. This year you are not making any changes, so with not making any changes, everything that you have in place today will continue as of January 1st and into 2021.
So if we was to make a change, and let's just hypothetically, because we're with one broker now, if we went with another broker, not saying that we would we went with MetaMutual, would our cards change at all? Would anything change on that part?
No. So the change to the township and to the employees, when you change insurance brokers and you're not making any changes to your plan, is seamless. Nothing gets impacted. The only difference is that the folks that handle the HR and the benefits and the fiscal officer and your employees would be reaching out to a different organization to ask questions or help with claim issues or whatever it may be. The world that we live in as far as insurance brokers, it's kind of what I call a level playing field. Miss Fault is not going to get better rates than Brian Lenzo can get. Brian Lenzo's not going to get better rates than Miss Falk. It's a level playing field. Really what we're talking about here are the services that the organizations provide, not only to, once again, the township, but to the employees as well. So if you're not looking to make any changes, our goal, I think, in 2021 is to shop the market. But that doesn't mean that you have to make changes. That just makes sure that the decisions that you're making with regards to carriers and vendors and plan design, you're getting the best product at the very best price, not only for the township, but for the employees as well.
Brian, I've got to say, with me living through some of, and Mr. Horn lived through it too, with some of the disasters that we had, our current representative has done an excellent job, I have to say, as far as setting us up. We had seamless move over compared to what we've had in the past, and these are why I was asking the questions, because of what our members have seen. It was a nightmare for some people. Suddenly they couldn't go to a particular doctor, and I'm thinking of some firemen in my head that one person was having a baby, and it was just a nightmare of trying to get it worked out. So that's why I'm asking the questions. Personally, myself, I don't know if MetaMutual would be competitive, and sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean when we shop the market for 50 cents less that we go with Joe Smo. Does that necessarily constitute to do that? Because of all the insurances that we've had, I have to say, bar none, MetaMutual has been one of the best plans that we have been able to offer for our residents, or not residents, but for our employees. You know, and for me, the having the debit card system or et cetera, the less paperwork type thing, was one of the caviars that I happened to catch. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, John. Ralph, do you have any questions or comments?
No, it's actually pretty clear to me with the explanation that that he had just given there, Mr. Chairman. You know, the real facts of the matter is we're not going to change this year. So from a respect of bidding, we're not doing any bidding on anything. We're not going to be changing at all until end of the year of end of 2021. So really, as I understand with the explanation that he gave, there will be no changes until the end of year 2021. So essentially, we really don't even need to be having this conversation at this moment, as I see it. There will be no changes this year. Is that correct?
Chairman, yes,
that's my understanding.
Chairman
Allison, Reinhart.
Yes. As I said from the beginning, we weren't really thinking of changing anything because it's too late in the year. And, you know, it would be too disruptive for the staff. All we're talking about are the services that each provider can provide. And compliance is a big thing for us, as well as other features and changing the burdensome paper process for reimbursements to a simple debit card that takes all the paperwork out of the hands of the employees.
Okay. So
I was going to ask, the two questions I have here are, Mary, like, this is for you. Like, what is our current contract saying about changing? And two, what is the cost difference between the two, and what cost would that be for the township?
We have no. Are you talking in contract with Linda's group?
For the broker. Yeah.
There is none. There never. She never had an agreement with the township.
I don't. Can I?
Linda, do you have a response to that question?
Yes.
Excuse me, but I thought we were going. She wasn't going to be interrupting anyone. Okay.
I think it would just be helpful. Like, I recall the board voting on a contract here, and I think it would be helpful to know, like, what happened to that, or what the status of that is. So, Mary, do you or Robin have info on that, or? I think Jim Welch, who's on here too, I think was the original person that negotiated this. I don't know if it's Chief Welch,
actually,
if you have any info.
I do have that. It's very brief. You want me to get it for you? It's just very, very, all it does is say it's on Medical Mutual, and it, with a 9.5% increase, and he had it as for something a year in, as an increase. That's all it says. It was just Medical Mutual. And that was in 2018, number 217, resolution number 217.
Okay, and there's no separate agreement with a broker?
Nope.
Chairman?
John?
Yes, just in fairness, you did call on Linda, and she started to speak, and then she didn't finish what she was going to say. I'd like to hear what she has to say.
Agreed. Linda, go ahead.
I am able to... Okay, I can talk. Okay, thank you. Yes, that's what I was saying in exhibit number one on April the 13th. It was asked from Mary Reinhart if there was a contract with me, and there is not. Your contract, Franklin Township's contract, is through Medical Mutual. What I do, just as Brian was saying, is a pretty even playing field with FormFire. You know, I do the same thing. It does change when you become over 50 employees, and Franklin Township is right on that fine line. But if you are under 50, there's no question, whether it be Brian or Linda Falk or any other competitor, we would roll out the FormFire process for you. And it does. It comes down to service. Service after the sale and having that relationship and your trust and doing the best, getting your best product for the best dollar. And that is really what we do as agents. Making sure that you are compliant, that if it would be Brian or my agency or another entity, that we are audit ready from day one, organized, prepared, ready to go. I do have a secondary. I do have quotes. There is a cost to do that, but I ask if you want to look at a secondary where we would do a debit card. I actually, Mary and I spoke of that during one of our first or two meetings when the accountant, Jeff, was in. I'm, you know, if you want to see that, there is a cost to do that. We would just have to figure out, and I would like to have that more of an in-person meeting, but there again, those quotes are here to the left of me. I am prepared to show you options instead of doing the mailbox. And by the way, Brian, claim forms are not required. We work off of explanation of benefit, just so you know. We do not require claim forms. So if there's need for improvement, again, Mary and I are just starting this relationship. All I'm asking is that I'm the agent, that I be advised of what changes. Just for instance, she started a new reporting method. It's wonderful. I think that it's working well for her and Robin. To answer your question as far as compensation, I am a 1099 employee for the carriers, whether it be Aetna, Anthem, Medical Mutual, United Healthcare, Principal, Delta, VSP, Guardian. I mean, I'm a 1099 for all of these carriers. So I am compensated through them. Your previous agent before I came also charged you, to my understanding, a fee for processing the claims that I do for you on a biweekly basis. I do not do that. How I have always presented to Franklin and to my other clients just like you, I am compensated through Medical Mutual, and that is my compensation. I do not charge a fee to process claims, and I don't do that, and I don't do it for any of the other townships, organizations that I work with.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead.
Mary? She and her husband had a meeting with us on August 28th and asked for us to pay for envelopes and postage and
that's not true.
And so forth. And
that is not true. I pay for stamps. I pay for envelopes. That is just not true.
All right. So I think I have a better understanding of of what is happening. I don't know if the other board members have any thoughts at this time, but I'd like to see some. If we're going to make any changes, I'd like to see those in writing so that we can have an apples to apples comparison, so that we can review those sorts of things. But this is a complicated thing. I also want to make sure that we have all of our bargaining units, that our employees are comfortable if a change is going to be made, because I don't want to disrupt anything. So that's my thought. I don't know where the other two board members are, though.
Can I read two emails from this morning?
Linda, I just asked the other two board members their opinion. So, Ralph, you're speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, Mr. Alley, number one, at this point in time, we're not going to change anything anyway, and won't be until at least 2021. So I think it would be prudent to take into consideration Linda has done this service for a period of time. And frankly, I've heard very little complaints at all on the service she's given. So from my perspective, that's a big plus for her, because we did have the prior company that we had had, or broker that we had had, there was some other complaints, and those complaints were not addressed in a timely manner or anything else. But from a period of time there that Linda's handled this account, I don't know of any case that she hadn't handle the account on a timely manner. I'm sure I would have heard if it had not have been. I don't go looking for problems, but I'm sure if there's been very many problems there, that she would have, we would have heard more about it. And I think probably either one of my constituents there would be fellow trustees, I don't think that any of you probably heard any problem. So I just say, leave it be. I think what we need to do, if we're going to consider any other thing, and I don't disagree that from time to time we need to check all of our contracts and vendors and things of that nature, and it may even be a state law, I don't know, that we do that. But I do think we need more information, and so on and so forth. And I think we can get that going forward. And it's, and from the sound of things, you know, we've got 9 months to do that. So I think we just need to leave it alone for the time being. Get a little bit more information is my thoughts on it, sir.
Trustee Sessions.
I reach for the microphone, sorry. My question would be, we would just need to find out exactly from our fiscal department what, to get clarification on if we're in compliance or out of compliance on anything, just to make sure, as you know, sir, that we are in the works of cleaning up one mess. So, you know, I don't want to not be in compliance. I think Ralph had some very good points. You know, obviously, I can't make a decision on this today without having seen the two. And then just for me personally, I do like the idea. And again, it's all about the cost of being able to have for all of our employees, a way that doesn't necessarily have the employee upfronting the majority or upfronting the cost, and then getting reimbursed the cost. That does work out. But if it's at a very minimal cost, that we would be able to give our employees the ability to not have to lay out additional monies and then retrieve them later. That would be a burden off some of our employees that I know that have mentioned that in between weeks or pay and et cetera, it can get tight, so I do understand that. And that's all I have, sir.
All right. So just hearing from the other two trustees, I agree with both of you guys on this. I think, you know, next steps would be for the fiscal office to get us a list of things, get a list of the board of things that we need to make sure that we are compliant, to make sure that all of that is being taken care of. I'd like to get that in writing so that we can have a paper trail that we are requesting all of this stuff, and that we're showing the auditors that we're making a best effort here. Changes, we should get those in writing so that we can have an apples-to-apples comparison so that we and our employees have a chance to look at that before we make a decision. And then we can come, once we have both of those, we can have a further discussion and come back together to discuss what, you know, if changes are needed or if we want to keep going forward, but that can happen at a later time. Is the rest of the board kind of agree with that?
Yes, sir, I would agree to that.
Okay. So I think that's the plan that we'll move forward with. That's good feedback from everyone else. So with that, is there any other questions or comments from the Board of Trustees?
Chairman Alex, can I ask for a timeline for this? Because we are a compliance problem right now with the auditor state. He brought it up in June, and we're out of compliance yet. And I wanted to have us compliance by the end of the year.
I think we definitely can do this by the end of the year. I think, you know, Mary, if you and your office can put together a list of things we need to do to get in compliance related to this issue, the board can and have that and then pass a resolution asking for those things so that we can have it documented there. So the sooner, you know, if you can get that to us by our next public meeting, our next regular scheduled meeting, I think it's next Thursday, we can pass that and then we can put a timing on when we need those to be completed by. And so we can start with that process, which I think gives us a kind of definition. You know, the good news is we still have a few months before the end of the year. Does that work for you, Mary?
Mark has a comment.
I just was,
Mark.
Mr. Chairman, I heard November 1st as a date thrown around. I was just curious how that fit into this and what that November 1st deadline was actually.
Yeah, I was unclear on that as well.
Brian may have an answer to that. Brian, is there enrollment starts on November 1st normally?
Well, so, you know, the employer has the ability to set, are we talking about, like, open enrollment for your upcoming January 1st renewal?
Yes.
So the organization has the ability to set their date for open enrollment. Some companies allow a week, some allow two, some allow three. It's really up to the discretion of the employer. Certainly, with the January 1st effective date and you all not making any changes to your benefit plan, you probably aren't going to have a lot of changes, but you would want really to probably have your open enrollment the last week of November, the first week of December, maybe the first 2 weeks of December, because if anybody does have any changes, that gives you a little bit of time to communicate to the vendors. Gentlemen, would it be okay, like, and if not, it's totally fine. Can I just follow up on a couple of things that I had heard earlier from Mrs. Falk, and if not, that's fine too. We can...
I don't really want to get into a back and forth here.
I think we have
a plan for the fiscal office to get the board some items that we need to act on to request for compliance changes. We can look at additional changes in our brokers via written proposals and discuss those at a future time. I think the real critical piece here is the compliance, and we can do that. We can vote on requests for that at the next general meeting. At the fiscal office can get us that stuff. I think that kind of sets us a good timeline here. We can have a follow up as needed on this topic. Anything else from the board? All right. Hearing none, we're going to wrap up this meeting. Appreciate everyone's comments and feedback today, and look forward to seeing what the fiscal office put together for us to vote on to request for compliance issues, and looking at additional proposals if and when they come through. Appreciate everyone. Have a good afternoon. The meeting's adjourned. Thank you.